Favorite scripture. It's Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool.
I'm going to read Cody Moore's favorite verse. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him.
I'm going to read Ivy Burke's favorite verse, Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength.
I'll be reading Maria Stoker's favorite scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to quit and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Good morning. Ms. Terry, can you hear me? Are you sure? Okay. I want to let you know that there's a luncheon after the service for the graduates and their families, and we'd like to invite you to join us there to continue the celebration. Janet Montgomery was extremely sweet and pulled a hat out of a rabbit out of her hat about 9 o'clock, I guess, on Friday. We realized we hadn't prepared anything, and she came through, so I know Janet would enjoy you coming down and eating the fruits of her labor. What a special day. Let's get to honoring these graduates. First, we want to honor those who have finished their high school careers and moved into bigger things, college. Our first college graduate graduated from the University of Virginia, where she recently received her bachelor's degree in the field of computer science and mathematics. Today, we honor Aaron Vesey. And it's not too often that a family boasts two college graduates at the same time. But today we're honored and inspired to recognize also Aaron's mom, Cindy Jarmel. Cindy received her master's degree in social work from Radford University. And Cindy, we're proud of you and all you have accomplished. And now to our high school graduates. Some of them couldn't be here, but we want to go ahead and honor them anyway. First is Ariel Presley. Ariel came to us through her stepbrother. I remember at the 8:30 service, she was always full of hugs and had to hug every person in the room. And she would run from person to person, as you might remember, going, "Good morning!" And while giving everyone a big hug. She had to hug every person in the room before we could start the service. And I remember Keith Dunnigan would always start his opening announcements with, "Once again, Ariel has had her usual breakfast of Red Bull." She brought many aspects to our youth room and her contagious personality. And she made the decision to accept Christ standing right there. So today we would honor Ariel Presley. Ariel couldn't be with us. She's working two jobs. She just got off work. She's worked a double shift, so she hasn't slept in like 24 hours. So, Ariel Presley. Next up, my Maria. Stay there. When I wrote this Friday night about Maria, it was 3 pages long, and I kept condensing it and condensing it and condensing it, and it's still 3 pages long. I'm always telling the youth, I pray for you each and every night. And Maria always came back with, "Yeah, I bet I'm at the top of that list." And I'd tell her, "No, you're at the bottom of that list, girl, because I spend some time on you." So in the years that have been involved with the youth program, these Maria and Ivy were actually the youngest when I first started, besides Timothy. And so we've watched them come all the way up. Out of all of the kids in the youth program, Maria has had the best attendance record of any youth, past or present. With any event, activity, or meeting, you always have some who can't be there because of prior commitment, sickness, or being out of town, or just whatever. And then you have those times when it works out perfect and everybody shows up. She was the one constant. At the yard sale that we had, once I remember we had 20 tables of yard sale items and things were all over the floor. We just had so many things. And I got up that morning and I went to the Moose Lodge early, and guess who was there waiting on me? Maria was. And guess who else showed up? No one. It was just one of those days when everybody had something else going on. Maria and I worked that yard sale for 4.5 hours by ourselves. We were dead by 1 o'clock, and then we still had to pack up and take everything that we didn't sell to the Goodwill, and not to mention the fact we hadn't eaten. We were starving. She never once complained about the work or the fact that she was the only one there. She didn't leave me. I'm going to be okay. Thank you for always being there for me. You've always been there for me, and I will always be there for you. So today, we honor my Maria, Maria Veselica Stoker. That's okay. Next up is Josh Blix, and Josh couldn't be here with us today. He's in Bristol. He's also at work. When Josh showed up, he completely stole my heart with his smile. He just had a very contagious smile. Last fall, Josh's mom relocated to Christiansburg, and his dad lives in Bristol. Josh wanted to finish out his senior year here at George Witham and play soccer. I was blessed with the opportunity to have Josh come live with us for a period of time so he could do those things. If I didn't love him before, I fell completely in love with him during that brief time. I had the honor of witnessing Josh accept Christ at our first resurrection trip. He was the one we always talked about. He didn't walk to the altar, but when the invitation was given, he ran. Upon witnessing this, I immediately fell to my knees and sobbed. It was a moment I'll never forget. So today, we honor Josh Taylor Blix. Next up is Poison Ivy. Our church has been given the honor of watching Ivy evolve from a bright-eyed, inquisitive little girl to a part of our praise team to the lead singer of the Higher Ground Band. We've had the pleasure of witnessing and watching her blossom. She's a leader among her peers. She is the group's go-to person when I ask, would anyone like to lead us in prayer? And if you haven't noticed, she's Asian. Our youth group is made up of many ethnic backgrounds, and it's made us unique. We talked about this one night in the youth room, how we were made up from all these different backgrounds. We had Caucasian, African-American, Mexican, European, German, and Asian. And Andre spoke up and said, hey, wait a minute. Ivy's Asian? I thought she was Chinese. Also, one day in discussion, when we were talking about when we graduated and left home, who the youth group saw as the youth who would most likely seek out and find a spiritual group to be a part of or possibly lead. And Ivy, if you recall, they chose you. This is the way your peers see you, and it's the way I see you. And today we honor Poison Ivy, Ivy Marion Fucci Burke. Sorry. No. Thank you. I notice Ivy only has two teeth in that first picture. She's all gums. Next up, we have Cody Jackson. I don't know Cody other than to tell you that he is Jean Moore's grandson, and she is one proud grandma. I can't tell you any stories about Cody, so I decided to make up one. One day, I remember Cody. I'm just kidding. You can relax. I will say this, though. As I was reading over Cody's information, I couldn't help but think what an exciting future for a young man. To get to go to the NASCAR Technical Institute and work with NASCAR engines. There isn't a guy in this room right now that isn't drooling. Or maybe to themselves they're making that Tim the Toolman Taylor man grunt and wanting to give you a high five. Today we honor Cody Jackson Moore. Mm-hmm. And just in some closing remarks, I want to speak to the graduates, and maybe the congregation can take something away from this as well. I was in Pigeon Forge a few years ago, and I was down by the old mill, and I came across a street potter. The person was sitting on the corner with a potter's wheel, and I got there right at the beginning of him beginning to make something. There were about 25 to 30 of us who had gathered there to watch this guy make a piece of something from the potter's wheel. Excuse me. He began with a large chunk of clay, and as I stood there and watched him create a beautiful piece of pottery, just as he was finishing up, something happened. He evidently didn't hold his hand right. I don't know if the stick that he was using to smooth the top went too deep. I'm not sure what happened. But in that moment, in that second, he had went from making a beautiful piece of pottery to a mess. I remember thinking how embarrassing for him. In front of 30 people, he had made one small mistake in a split second, and the piece was ruined. I wondered how he would handle that there in front of all of us who had watched it happen. We had watched him mess up. Would he get annoyed and throw the clay away? He kept his composure. He never made eye contact with any of us. In fact, he never looked up. He took that same piece of clay and he pushed it back together into a chunk, and he began again. And this time, he created a beautiful picture. It had finally become what he had envisioned. Excuse me. Jeremiah 18:6 tells us, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand." Guys, your faith and your decision to serve and accept Jesus is a spiritual journey. Let's imagine for a moment that this beautiful picture is our congregation. They are beautiful, more seasoned, more mature Christians. And we've talked about this. You see them as perfect, always getting it right, free from error or mistake. And that makes you feel a bit unworthy, sometimes broken and defeated, and sometimes those feelings factor into the decisions you make. You might see your picture looking something like this. I made that myself. It took some time. Let's see, where am I? But what I want to point out is this. We all started out looking like this. We don't know how many times the potter, our God, started over before this picture got the way it is. Now remember this. This represents the congregation, and that includes me and Tony and Debbie and Amanda and Brian and anyone else. It represents all of us. Before it ended up looking like this, it had quite the faith journey too. And while this picture looks perfect and beautiful to you to a distance, it's not. In fact, this picture has a hairline crack from the top that runs deep inside. And if you notice on the bottom, somehow at some point it was nicked and it has a chip. And you may not realize it, but and you can't see it from where you're sitting, but this handle has been broken off and it's been glued back on. And inside the pitcher, well, there's dust in there. And just like that potter in Pigeon Forge, who made that small split-second mistake that ruined his first attempt at making that pitcher, This picture, even in its current state of beauty, can be dropped, and in a split second, to us, it can appear to be totally destroyed, but not to the potter, our God. Things can happen even now in our adult lives that shake our faith, and we want you to understand this. None of us are perfect. All of us have and are experiencing a spiritual journey, and we have all went from this to this to this. And even while this looks pretty and it looks perfect, it still has flaws. And even if it's as pretty as it is, if it's dropped and it shatters, we can still go back to this. And once again, we can become that. It's true. Our Lord tells us it's true. Like clay in the potter and the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand. Someone pointed out to me a couple weeks ago that she serves not only a forgiving God, but a forgetting God. And I had never thought about it like that before. A forgetting God. We've heard it said many times, God is a forgiving God. But as she pointed out, we might not think too much about him being a forgetting God. Wow, how true is that? When we ask forgiveness for a sin or a mistake, God forgives them, and then he forgets them. For example, if you turn your head to the side and you look back, and then you turn your head to this side and you look back, what's directly behind you, you will never see, ever. And in a way, that's what God does. When we ask him to forgive us, he puts things back there, and you can never see them again. So here's the thing. When you ask forgiveness, God forgives, and he forgets it. And the problem we suffer from is this. Can we forgive ourselves? And can we forget it? Don't let the struggles in your life define who you are or who you will become because you don't see yourself as this. And don't think for a millisecond that those who are here represented by this don't understand what you're going through. Again, they were once here. So stay the course. When faced with a mistake, and you're going to make them, we all do, remember, Jesus is the potter, and you are the clay in his hands, and he will meet you at the potter's wheel every time. One day you will mature and be a seasoned Christian, and this will be you. You're a work in progress. We all are. The right people, the right breaks, the right answers have already been lined up. Everything you need is already in your future. Ivy?
Good morning. Okay, y'all can do better than that. Have I really been gone that long? Good morning. Now we're starting to get the hang of this again. Okay. First of all, to tell you how prepared I was this morning, I walked into the sanctuary. But Katie looks at me and she goes, "Where's your cap and gown?" And I went, "Oh. Wait a minute. It's in the back of my car. And it has been there since I got it, which was like last week. There were some instructions that said something about hanging it up to knock the wrinkles out. I didn't exactly follow this. Well, it's kind of wrinkled. It's okay. We got it. I found it this morning in the back of my car. First off, I'm going to say it's taken long enough to get here, really. This should shorten this span of having to graduate. It feels good to be able to say that this is the last week I will ever experience of high school. I have to say that it's been a struggle sometimes, staying up for 40 hours at a time trying to get your last-minute project done that you procrastinated on because you wanted to hang out with your friends instead, because we all do it at one point, right? I started out doing sports, having a decent amount of free time, to absolutely none at all. I don't mind saying that, though. Why do you ask? I've worked my hardest to make good grades and work till the sun goes down and be who God wants me to be
at the same time. Let me tell you, it's not always an easy path. God expects a lot of us. But he's also forgiving for the things that he knows that we were truly sorry for. I can't emphasize to those that are younger to make wise decisions in your future. What kind of decisions? Well, who are your friends? Do your friends encourage you or discourage you? Let me say, it's better to have ones that build you up and have the same mindset as you. It's easier to say on the right path when those around you have the same ideas that you do. What else? If, you know, you wouldn't tell your guardians about it, don't do it. Because I promise, it'll eat you away. You'll say, I'll keep that secret. You'll tell Mom anyways. I promise. I promise that those not wise decisions that you make, that you're like, it'll be okay at that time, they aren't worth it. The ones that God has for you in the long run are the ones that you're going to want to keep. Everyone is so worried about dating someone. I know every adult that you've ever met has said, you're too young. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not just that you're too young, and you may be. But boyfriend and girlfriend, it's something for later in life. Love is something special that you should share with someone that you know and that thinks exactly like you do and that you feel that you want to spend together forever in God's eyes. One day, walk up in front of a church and say, I do. It's something that you want to hold and cherish and know that it's something that God was looking for you and that you go to church every morning knowing that this is where God wants me to be in my life. If you wouldn't walk in front of God and say, this is my life, don't do it. It's not worth it. Right now is the time to make good grades and do good things and work towards your future. God will lead you to that Mr. or Mrs. Right someday when he feels it's the right time in your life. I promise, his plan is greater than you think sometimes. We may be a little impatient, but as most teenagers are, we are, and we're going to be. But don't worry, he's got something in mind. Oh yeah, I forgot, the biggest thing that everybody worries about, popularity. Don't waste your time. Be friends with who you want to be with, and friends that make you feel good about what you're doing in life, and those that you know that are leading you towards the right paths. Why would you want to be popular? Does it make you feel prettier or more handsome if you're popular? I hate to say it, but the answer is no. Why worry if everyone likes you? It doesn't matter. All that matters is God's opinion of you. The only thing that matters is that you loved your neighbor as yourself. One day you're going to want to look at God, and you're going to want him to look down at you and say, good job, my good and faithful servant. This is one of the most important commandments that God gives. So even when people are picking on that one little kid, be the one that stands up and says, hey, it's not okay. That's not something that you should be doing to someone. Would it make you feel better doing that to somebody? We should all love everyone and not pick and choose. God's the one that said we should love all. God writes to us that we should be set apart from the world and not of this world. He meant what he said. If we were part of this world, how can we serve with a heavy heart? He wants us to take all of the weight off our shoulders, and he wants to set your burdens free. Let him do so. God knows what's best for you. Let him say that as difficult as high school can be, it's worth it to say one day, I'm graduating today, and you toss the cap, and I'm sorry, Bonnie, I'm about to toss mine. It's almost falling off. And as far as college goes, set a foundation. We've had this conversation so many times in youth, but can I say it's a good one? Set rules that you're willing to bend, like the kind of music you listen to. That's okay. You know, maybe you go from a little bit of alternative to some rock and that kind of thing. And then set rules that you're kind of willing to break, but you're more hesitant, like procrastinating on homework. I do it all the time. It's really not good for you, though. Don't tell my mom. I know she's sitting in the back row. Then make a set of rules that you're not willing to break. And no matter what, like smoking and drinking and things that you know won't lead you down to the right path. And then make sure when you leave that you have yourself that standard and you're not willing to break it. If you have a firm foundation, then you're more likely to stick with it. And then if you have a plan, you'll be all right. I know that life is full of temptations, but be wise in the decisions that you make. Because everything has a consequence, whether good or bad. So my mom tells me. Be responsible and do what you know is right. We only have a conscience, and not only is it that, but we have the Holy Spirit that leads us to make those right decisions. So when you hear something pecking in the back of your head going, it's not only that good or right that your mom taught you, but it's God saying, I don't think so. Be a disciple. A disciple is someone that serves Christ no matter the cost. If he asks you right now, I want you to give up your house, your family, everything that you've worked so hard for right now, would you drop it all? Would you give everything to God? We're told not to hold on to worldly possessions, and it's true, we shouldn't. Do you want to be buried with them? I sure hope not. That would be kind of a big grave. I pray that each and every one of us this morning remember why we're here, and remember that it's to serve God, not ourselves. If we can remember this, then we can live our lives accordingly. And I end to say, love your neighbor as yourself.